Now we'll travel to Canton, Ohio for a tour of the William McKinley Presidential Library and Museum with Essential Pittsburgh assistant producer Katie Blackley.
I'm Christopher Kenny, Director of Education here at the McKinley Presidential Library and Museum.
So Chris, just to start off, can you tell us just some basic information about President McKinley?
He was our 25th president. He was actually born in Niles, Ohio, and he served in the Civil War all 4 years, and then he went to the Albany Law School. And he was the last president that we had that was a Civil War soldier, Civil War veteran.
For listeners that may just not be aware, what were some of the biggest events that happened throughout President McKinley's time in office?
Probably the biggest was the Spanish-American War. It was a very short war. Not many people talk too much about it, but it really, for the first time, set the United States as a superpower, as a global power. And issues that were brought up during the Spanish-American War are some of the issues that we're still struggling with even to this day. What is our role overseas? You know, how should we help other countries with civil rights issues and human rights issues and things like that? So that war in 1898, for the very, very first time, showed that our military could go anywhere around the world, our Navy especially, and we had colonies in the way of Puerto Rico and Guam for the very first time, territories over in the Philippines. So it was a very, very important war to set us up for moving into the 20th century and the 21st century. We're in our Stark County Story exhibit. People coming through this exhibit will get a better understanding of our community and what the history of our community was and what it was like when William McKinley came here after the Civil War. So in this section, there's photographs showing William McKinley at the age of 18 when he first enlisted, along with other citizens of Stark County that served in the Civil War.
Do we know what prompted him to enlist?
He was very much anti-slavery, and he also wanted to carry on the military tradition of his family. His father and his grandfather had both served in the Army, so he felt it was his duty to kind of continue on that service and also serve his country. And interestingly enough, when the war ended in 1865, he was discharged with the rank of brevet major. So a lot of his close friends referred to him as the major. And even after he became president, he still felt that his service in the military was even above that of president. And many of his close friends, even when he was president, still called him the major.
So where to next?
Well, we can head into our McKinley Gallery itself. So there's a lot of things to talk about in there. It's going to be the largest collection of artifacts related to President McKinley that you're going to see anywhere in the world.
So we are standing in front of what looks like a pretty old rocking chair. Chris, what is this?
Yes, this is part of the exhibit depicting the front porch of William McKinley's home. He did a front porch campaign in 1896. So unlike today, where the candidates are traveling all across the country, he stayed at home and the voters came to see him. And he would give speeches from his front porch. And we have a fairly recent donation in the form of a rocking chair that was actually used on the front porch by William McKinley. The McKinleys had two daughters that died when they were very, very young. One was only 5 months old. The other one was only 3.5 years old. So there's no direct descendants of the president and Mrs. McKinley. So it's hard when we get artifacts in the family story that things actually belong to him. But we were able to find a picture of him sitting in a rocking chair, and we were able to scan that image in, blow it up, take a look at the cracks and the screw heads, and compare it to the actual chair. And we're convinced, 99.9% sure, that this chair was used by President McKinley on the front porch. So we have an image of him sitting in the chair here in our exhibit at his Canton home, which is pretty neat to have.
Why were those front porch campaigns important? What kind of message could he deliver from that space that was different than other kinds of campaign methods?
Well, the 1896 campaign especially was really kind of the first modern campaign that we think of today, in that it got the constituents at the grassroots level and the supporters at the grassroots level really, really involved in the process. Now, William McKinley and his campaign manager, Mark Hanna from Cleveland, how they had it set up was they would actually send a courier down to the train station and meet the delegation, and a representative from the group would hand them the speech that they were going to make, and they would take it back to McKinley and Hanna. And by the time the group got to McKinley's home, McKinley and Hanna had had enough time to look it over, and they really could tailor their speech. So it gave them an opportunity to really focus in on the different issues of each of the groups coming. It might have been an agricultural issue, it might be an industrial issue, it might be a money issue, but it really, the Front Porch campaign really allowed them the opportunity to really single in on that specific group's interest and address it directly.
Ida, we have guests. Welcome to our home. It has been some time since
So we're heading into a much more formal looking, almost like a set of rooms. What is this in here, Chris?
This is our formal McKinley Gallery, and it's divided up into three different sections. And as you're looking at the sections, the one third of the room on the left contains artifacts from when he first came to Canton and started working as a lawyer. So that would be 1867 when he first moved here, all the way through to around the 1870s. Our middle section of the room contains artifacts from the McKinleys' home, where they lived and where the Front Porch campaign occurred, which was on North Market. Sadly, that home is no longer there. It's the site of our main branch of our county library now. And then the final third of the room, these are all artifacts that were in the White House, used by the McKinleys at the time that they were in the White House. And that time being president is much different than today. You could take things with you out of the White House, gifts given to the president, which there's several of in this part of the room. They belong to the president today. They have to remain at the White House. You can't just take them with you, but times were different back then. So we're looking at their brass bed that they had in their bedroom at the White House. We're looking at a portrait of their daughter, Catherine, their oldest daughter, who passed away at 3 1/2. They always kept a portrait of her above their bed. We have an actual picture from the White House bedroom, so we know that that's where the portrait belongs. And also a beautiful yellow silk tapestry embroidered by the Chinese community in San Francisco, and that was given to the president and first lady when they were there on a trip to San Francisco in the early part of the spring of 1901.
Also in the gallery right behind us, there's a row of display cases, and we've stopped by the first one. Chris, what's inside here?
We have artifacts from the early period of William McKinley's life and also during his marriage to Ida. And one of the focal points, one of the centerpieces, is Ida McKinley's diamond tiara. And the story behind that was we knew it existed. We had hosted it here at the museum several times before for fundraisers and things like that. And then we didn't know really what had happened to it until it showed up on the show Pawn Stars. And we were able to contact them and did a very, very quick fundraiser in order to raise enough money to purchase it from them. They were gracious enough to sell it to us for what they had paid for it. And so now we were able to bring it back here to Canton, and it's on display for everybody to see.
President McKinley was the third president to be assassinated, and what are we looking at now? These look like kind of dark and somber memorabilia.
Exactly. We're looking at, right here in the lower center part, we're looking at a nightshirt that President McKinley wore. It is torn up the back, which indicates that there was some sort of procedure done in a hurry. We also see a .32 caliber Ivor Johnson revolver, which was the same make and model that Leon Czolgosz used to kill the president. The actual gun itself is still in Buffalo, where the assassination took place. We're also looking at various mourning ribbons from different organizations here in Canton and Stark County, and a sign that was placed on President McKinley's casket. We also have images of the funeral and of the construction of the McKinley National Memorial, which is also on our grounds, where the President, First Lady, and their two young daughters are entombed today.
Can you tell us a little more about the assassination? What was Leon's motivation to shoot the President in Buffalo?
Leon was part of the anarchist movement, which was very, very active in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Leon saw the office of presidency, not personally William McKinley, but the actual office, as a threat to the common person, common working man. And some of those theories of Emma Goldman and other anarchists that he subscribed to really pushed him to decide to kill the president as a statement of what he believed. He had been asked to leave several anarchist meetings for asking too many questions. So he described himself as a misfit among misfits. So this was a big reason why he wanted to make a statement, and that's what he decided to do.
How did the country react to his assassination?
The reaction of the country, for those listeners that may remember the assassination of President Kennedy, it was a very, very similar type of reaction. Whether you agreed with his politics or not, he was very well liked as a person and as a man. And this was the third assassination of a president in an adult's lifetime. You had Lincoln, Garfield, and now McKinley. So as an adult, you would have lived through potentially three assassinations of our presidents. So it was a very, very somber time when the funeral happened. All trading on Wall Street stopped, all communications, telephones and telegraphs, all of that ceased during the funeral services. So it was a very, very somber time in the United States, for sure.
We've been talking with Christopher Kenny. He is the Director of Education here at the William McKinley Presidential Library and Museum in Canton, Ohio. Christopher, thank you so much for being on Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Hurrah, hurrah, McKinley is the man. Hurrah,
coming up, you know when you hear Hail to the Chief, the President is close by. But did you know the Vice President has a song, too? We'll talk about the tune after this break. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh's President's Day Special on 90.5 WESA.
Free silver.